Hi, everyone. Thank you for being here for this new episode of Nepal Now, the podcast where we highlight different ideas and actions to move the country forward. I'm Marty Logan. Here's something new. Did you know you can listen to Nepal Now on your smart speaker? Just ask Siri, Alexa, or whoever you're talking with to play Nepal Now podcast, and you'll hear my voice. Okay, on with this episode, one I really enjoyed because our initial discussion about why the government of Nepal invested 13 years into improving a strain of rice, even if it is the famous Jumli Marcy red rice, morphed into a broader chat about poor farmers growing crops for export instead of for personal consumption. As its name suggests, the rice is grown in Jumla, a district of the Karnali region in West Nepal, typically described as one of the country's most remote and poorest areas. I remember going there 17 years ago with the World Food Program as it helicoptered in rice during an emergency operation because prolonged drought had withered crops. But things are slowly improving. For example, a major hospital, the Karnali Academy of Health Sciences, is regularly praised for providing services rather than for the lack of such services, which is often the reason rural health facilities make headlines here. Today's guest, senior scientist and molecular breeder Resham Babu Amagai of the Nepal Agricultural Research Council, tells us that he thinks the livelihoods of poor farmers are also improving, largely because they are now selling what they grow to Nepal's middle class, eager to indulge in what they consider nutritious local food. A 2018 photo of the current prime minister and his predecessor dining on Jumli Marcy helped to cement the rice's reputation. Before we play today's chat, a quick reminder that you can show your appreciation for the work that goes into making Nepal Now by clicking on the white support button at the middle left of our homepage and making a contribution. If you have any questions or suggestions about this or about the show in general, feedback on what you hear, an idea for an episode, or anything at all, you can write to me at martylogancoms@gmail.com. Please listen now to my chat with Resham Babu Amagai. Resham Babu Amagai, welcome to Nepal Now.
Thank you for welcoming me here for this interview.
Great, I'm happy to see you. Today we're going to talk about many things, including the growing appetite for Marcy Jumli rice and other products from the Karnali region in Kathmandu and other urban centers, as well as the role of rice in diets versus what are sometimes called native crops like millet and buckwheat. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to talk about all these things. But first, I wanted to ask, why did the Nepal Agricultural Research Station invest 13 years to create three new strains of this fairly famous rice, Marcy Jumli?
Yeah, Jumli Marcy.
Jumli Marcy. Thank you.
Jumli Marcy is a rice very popular, and only the rice people prefer to cultivate in the Karnali regions, especially Jumla Valley and surrounding other valleys. The area coverage of the rice area coverage in the Jumla and surrounding area is around 2,800 hectares. And nowadays, the price of the Jumli Marcy is, when we calculate its production, is 2 ton, around 2 ton per hectare. Then the price of the, if all the products sold to the market, it goes around 26 crores, means I think 2.6 millions. Right. And the rice is very popular. People like to have the Jumli Marcy rice. And Jumli Marcy is not now a food crop. It's a cash crop for the farmers because it pays high prices in farm gate too. And The problem of the Jumli Marshy rice is the disease. It destroys up to 26% of the yield, blast disease, and it cost around 0.6 million, I think, per year. And if we can improve the Jumli Marshy rice just for the resistance of the disease, blast disease, then we can save six crores of Nepalese rupees per year. And what we do is we should not modify the any characteristics of the Jumli Marshy, but only what we need to do is to improve it for the blast resistance, and it is called germplasm enhancement. And so it takes little bit more time because we need to use the modern technology. Especially what we do is we first tested the which of the gene works for the high altitude, especially Jumla area. And we identify the PI33 of blast resistant gene for the Jumla area is effective. So we try to transfer the PI33 gene from IR64, early maturing variety, very popular variety, that is Indica rice, to the Jumli Marshy. Jumli Marshy is Japonica rice. And we should preserve all the characteristics of Jumli Marshy. It should look like the Jumli Marshy. It should taste the Jumli Marshy. But the new product or new lines should be the resistant with the blast. So it does take, some more years to screen in Jumla, in Komaltar, and we use the latest technology of the molecular marker assisted selection. We use the CASP markers. Our good partner is the LGC Genomics, London Genomics Center, who is the developer or the who hold the patent for the CAS markers. And we work together to improve the Jumli Marshy. And now the new through lines that we have developed completely looks like Jumli Marshy, tastes like Jumli Marshy, and the farmers think it is a Jumli Marshy. However, it is resistant to all the three lines are resistant to blast, and no yield loss further if farmers start to cultivate those lines.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. So you find a gene from another rice,
yeah,
that is resistant to blast disease.
In Jumla,
yeah. Introduce it into the rice. Does that mean like you introduce it, then you have to go through a crop cycle,
yes,
and then harvest it, test it,
yes,
and then adjust it? So, oh, I see. So people have already taste tested this,
yes,
one
in
that you
first field too. We see it tested 2 years in Jumla.
Okay,
and inside the our research station 4 years. I mean, 6 years we have tested in Jumla, and the farmers prefer, yes, this is the Jumli Marshy. They cannot distinguish between the Jumli Marshy except when there is disease. It doesn't have, these three lines do not have the disease. That's
okay.
The only difference.
Okay. And as you were saying, you were working with a company from London that provides some specific technical,
yeah,
assistance. Is this the first time that you've done this type of adaptation of a crop?
It is the new technology. We are using the conventional molecular marker assisted technology using microsatellite markers before. And the company just started its techniques of the using marker assisted selection using CASP molecular markers. And we together got support from the Innovate UK, a British government funding organization, to do the such type of the works. And we are the first personnels or first groups who works CASP markers in rice for Indica rice. We developed many CASP markers for Indica rice, and we tested it for different lines, and one of those lines is Jumli Marshy also, and it gives the good result.
Wow, that's very impressive actually that you're working at that level of specialization. Do you think that very quickly all of the acres, all of the hectares that are now planted with the previous version will be completely replaced by these new lines?
We quickly? Hope so, because this is the rice sowing season now, because Jumla has the special type of the rice ecology. And farmers are coming to agriculture research station in Jumla for the new version of seeds. Some farmer seed groups already taken it for the seed production, and we hope very quickly farmers will replace all the old versions, because there is no difference between the old version and new version except for blast resistance.
Right, it makes sense. If it's a matter of dollars, rupees, then it makes sense that they would make the change. So as you mentioned, now this rice is a cash crop. It's no longer eaten locally. Yeah. And I think you probably remember, I remember a few years back, there was a photo of two very high level politicians having a meal of this rice. Yeah. And I think it made a lot of people aware of the rice. And now, of course, everyone in Kathmandu and probably across the country wants to buy this rice. And it has this kind of prestige attached to it. But at the same time, I've been around Nepal for about 20 years now, and I've often heard this discussion about, you know, rice having been introduced to the Karnali and adopted more as a prestige kind of crop rather than the local local natural varieties that are said to be more healthy, such as buckwheat and different millets. How do you invested, or the government invested 13 years into this cash crop. Is there any thinking about whether or not, from a bigger picture perspective, that is the right thing to do? For example, if there was a millet variety that was hit by a disease, would you invest 13 years into that millet variety?
First of all, rice is socially, economically, culturally, and religiously important crop in Nepal. When people can grow the rice, people will not cultivate other crops. They always prefer rice. It's a head, heart, and stomach of Nepalese people. So, all the irrigated areas in Karnali, it looks like there is different patches of the valleys in Karnali where there is sufficient irrigation, stream irrigation or river irrigations, and people prefer rice to cultivate the rather than the other crops. Though rice takes around 6 months to be harvested as from seed sowing to harvesting, it is still, people still prefer it and then other crops. When there is no area of the irrigation, other crops means you said buckwheat and millets, different types of millets, proso millet, foxtail millets, finger millets, and wheat also grown in other areas. But for the irrigated areas, even in Jumla, it's around 2.6 million transaction per year. It's not a small amount for that small area. And if we improve by doing small oaks, it looks like not a big oak, but it's a chain of oaks. It doesn't invest 6 crores Nepalese rupees. That project doesn't spend so much money. But each year, when we can replace the disease susceptible varieties of the rice with disease resistant, then a farmer can save huge amount of the crops, and they will get more income, and more income means more prosperous of their lives. So it is targeted for the number one, because nowadays it becomes the cash crops. 13 years ago, it is not a cash crop. Nowadays, it becomes the cash crop because our breeders foresee what will happen next, first. And second, most of the irrigated area, there is a cropping system. Barley after rice, rice after barley, okay? So this fits only in the irrigated area, and irrigated area is not a small area in Karnali. So we first try to hit the rice for the improvement of their livelihoods, yes.
Okay. We often hear about Karnali in a negative way, right? Yeah. Or I should say that in the media, it's often portrayed in a negative way, not always, and maybe that's changing, but one of the negative perceptions is that it's a food-dependent area, right? And the Nepal government needs every year to subsidize rice and to actually deliver rice to the area. Overall, in, let's say, the last decade, is that situation changing? Is it getting more positive or less positive?
Nowadays, due to transportation facilities, before 10 years and now the transportation facilities has been drastically changed. And what the crops or the what the foods produced in Karnali mostly will not used or will not consumed in this area. These crops becomes the cash crops, and they are selling those crops or those products to the city areas. So like rice, simi, it's called the fasciolus bean in English, or the rajma bean in India, and in Jumla it is called simi, special type of simi, not the other versions. And the apples in fruits, and the proso millet, foxtail millet, finger millet, whatever the product in Karnali, nowadays that becomes the cash crops because of its taste, its healthiness, and people think it's more organic or more with less pesticide and less chemical fertilizers. So their livelihood is now changing, and I guess some farmers are earning more than 10 years ago, and their livelihood has been really changed.
Okay, well, that sounds very positive, but it makes me also wonder, what crops are they eating? Like which?
For Nepalese context, almost all Nepalese loves rice, okay? What they do is, most of the areas, they sell their products to the market in a higher price and buy the food from the Tarai region that is more cheaper than their own products. So that helps them to become a little bit more richer than before. It doesn't mean that they will not consume their own, but they try to sell most.
I know this isn't your field of expertise, but nutritionally, do you think people's diets have improved because of this? Or, I mean, they have more income, maybe more money to spend, but as you say, a lot of what is considered the high quality food is going out of the region.
I cannot say it, but what is most important is livelihood doesn't mean only the nutrition. When they do not have good access to the education, they do not have the good access to the health system, means if they cannot go to the good hospital, then it will be another more problem. Their nutritional status has not been declined, I think so. Their health has not been declined, but it has been increased because they have the more purchasing powers. They can purchase the eggs, they can purchase the meats, they can purchase the milk even from the Nepal Gons and other places, and they have the more access to the hospital, more access to the education, good college and schools by increasing their livelihoods.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about your next project, what you're working on, but first you said something that made me think. When you were developing these new strains, did you also need to take into account climate change? So, for example, it's probably getting warmer and drier, and of course the climate is becoming less predictable. So did you take that into your scientific calculation?
Yeah, what we consider is, in case of the rice, beans, and some special crops in there. Rice, beans, it will not affect much more because rice is a warmer crop. They cultivate the crop in warm season, means they start by second week of March and it will be completely harvested after October. It means all the crops, most of the crops will be grown in warmer season. Due to climate change, a little bit warming has been happened that will affect mostly in apple crops, I guess, that requires the chilling. And for the food crops, erratical rainfall may also have the effects. So what we have considered is for the drought or the less irrigation or the for the varieties with other crops, especially apples, low chilling requirement varieties should be the most priorities for the next research. And we should consider the climate change and erratic rainfall or increase in temperature. And every varietal development program, not even in the food crops, also in vegetables, fruits, should be considered this way. And we are considering this also.
Okay. So you partly answered my question, I think, which was, what is your next priority, let's say?
Okay. Our next priority is we should focus on the food crops that has already become a cash crops. And our next priority is after rice, we'll work for the other food that is cash crops, like our beans, jumli beans. And these cash crops, we should make disease-free, make less loss during the erratic rainfall, will yield more when the temperature has been raised, and making it a little bit early so farmers can save their time for harvesting. That will be our consideration for next programs. And for rice also, since it is a research program, and we should again look forward more yield. Farmers prefer everything more. Okay. And we also work for them. So our next plan is after enhanced Jumli Marshi rice, then we'll search for other good rice lines that will be or incorporate more characteristics that that will cope with the incoming climate change. It means when there is erratic rainfall, Jumli Marshi need to be adapted for the drought characteristics. So next, our program for the Jumli Marshi only will add more characteristics, good characteristics, without destroying the major feature. Just incorporate that some tolerant genes for drought, other type of the disease due to climate change, other disease is coming. And for other crops too, similar way, considering the climate change, considering the their importance for the Karnali region and the livelihood of the people of the Karnali region, and we should more focus on the, and we are also working on this, focus on the high yielding, good quality, those food crops that is now become the cash crops. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, congratulations on your work this Jumli Marshi, right?
Thank you.
And it sounds like you're going to be very busy in the months and years to come working on these other projects. Thank you for telling us about it. It's very interesting.
Thank you for me to tell about our story or our research plan or what we have done. It will be really beneficial to people from other parts of the country or the people who have the positive views for the Karnali regions, who wants to develop or improve the livelihood of the Karnali regions people. It will be beneficial for us to tell them that we are also working for the peoples of the Karnali.
Yeah, it's a good story. Thanks again. And have a good trip back.
Thank you. And I should say is Karnali has a different in terms of the geography. in terms of the social attitude and in terms of the government's eyes, in terms of the other developing agencies' eyes. And what I feel when I was there since last year, 1.5 year already, working with the very poor farmers, there is a creamy leer of the people from the coronary regions. And those creamy leers gets all the opportunities rather than the grassroots peoples. A good trouble for the grassroots people is if they want to come to Kathmandu or Nepalganj, and when they goes to the city like Khalanga city of Jumla, they have to wandering around 2 or 3 days for flight tickets or for the bus tickets. They still need someone to support them or someone to give them a favor for the even the bus tickets, even for the jeep tickets. And a government policy should be goes to the grassroots level rather than the criminal. Government's intervention or developing agencies' intervention should be done to go to the grassroots level, because the criminal give the false readings or false data and false development also.
Yeah, okay. So you're saying this, what you call this creamy layer, the topmost layer is taking advantage and taking too many resources that should go to the less advantaged people.
Okay. It goes to the less advantaged people, and every developing agencies and every government agencies should be focused on the grassroots level. Try to remove the creamy layer is the most important challenge for the development of the Karnali region rather than other things.
Okay, thank you for making that point. Thanks again to Resham Babu Amagai for sharing his knowledge with us today. Let us know how you feel about the new strain of Jumli Marsi on our socials. We're Nepal Now or Nepal Now Pod on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. That's all for today. I'm Marty Logan. I'll talk to you next time.